Lord, make us people of prayer. God, I pray that you'll just help us, every one of us. Lord, when we leave this place, that you'll impart within every one of us a greater seeking heart, power to pray. Lord, we pray that you'll do this for each one. Lord, instill it within us. Give us the hunger, the thirst, the power in prayer. Lord, we know that's what's going to make the changes. Lord, we need it. Lord, we repent. Yes. Lord, of where we perhaps have been busier, not praying as more and more. Lord, you don't want us just to stay where we're at. Lord, you don't want us just to pray alone, but you want us to get our churches praying. You want us to encourage and have faith that others will begin praying so that you can come. Lord, do something at this time. Let there be that breaking through, Lord, that breaking forth, Lord, into a greater place in God. Lord, we want you to come. And we pray, Lord, that this will not just be something we hear about, but, Lord, that you'll impart it into us and in our works and in this camp in a greater way, Lord. God, we want to pray. We want to seek you. We want to find you. We want you to come forth. In Jesus' name, praise you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes.
In Jesus' name.
I think it's always encouraging to hear stories of Pentecostal power breaking out in places, especially that they weren't expected to break out. As some of you may know, I went to Liberty University for 4 years, the last 4 years of my life. And they're a historically Baptist campus. So I know when I went down there, there were some people that were just kind of questioning, you know, you're from a Pentecostal background, Assemblies of God background, why there? And honestly, I couldn't give an answer in that moment. I just knew that that's where the Lord had placed me, had put me. And so going in there, it was definitely different from the Baptist background to, you know, what we have up here, a Pentecostal heritage. And so there were moments of my identity just kind of like, where am I at? What do I believe? Where am I going with all this? And so it was definitely a defining moment for me and my faith and my walk with Christ. And after a few years, you know, I became very confident and comfortable with who I was as a Pentecostal, as an Assemblies of God fellowship member. And I was always praying that I would see something on campus happen. And that was becoming a prayer that you would hear more often on campus, that the Spirit would move. I just want to share a story. I think it was 2 months ago, I went down to school to just visit some friends. Just see what was happening down there. So I went down for a week. I finished up my last semester back at home. So I went down for a week to just go visit and see what was going on down there, see some friends, hang out a little bit, and all that stuff. I was heading down there on a Monday. And on that Monday morning, we have Monday, Wednesday, Friday chapel services. And on that Monday morning, there was a gospel singer, famous gospel singer, that was there. 13,000 students are gathering for these services. And a gospel singer was there. They had a moment of prayer for these three girls that are from the school that were in a major car accident just a few days before that. One that was on her deathbed, one that she was on ventilators, she couldn't walk, she couldn't move, and they just took a moment just to pray for her. Then the story goes on, you know, the singing goes on, they're worshiping, and then the pastor, the campus pastor they call him, he comes back up and stops the service. And he gets a text on his phone, and he says, she's being healed as we speak. As we're praying here in this place, she's being healed. And the place is just going, erupting. I mean, you've never seen campus like this. And so, okay, God, what are you doing here? What's going on here? That Wednesday comes. There's a pastor, he's actually from Brooklyn, a pastor from Brooklyn, small church pastor, comes to speak, these thousands of students. The Lord's just working in that place. Many students just feeling the power, the presence of God in that place. Wednesday night service comes, and there are 5,000 plus students there. Afterwards, there's just such a move of the Spirit. Over 50 people got baptized that night. People were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit at a Baptist campus. I know it's hard to kind of place that if you haven't been in that circle at all. But I mean, the Lord was moving powerfully. People were up through the night, worshiping, just taking time, baptizing people in the lake we have outside. I mean, it was amazing, and I was able to be in the presence of all this happening. And I think it's encouraging for us to hear that things like this was written 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and things like this are happening today. And like we just heard, like we just prayed, we need to be a praying people that this will continue to happen. Not only there, in the most unknown places, I mean, that happens throughout the book of Acts time and time again, places where people would have never thought the Holy Spirit was falling or should fall, he fell. And so we're expecting that here at camp for those that may come up and not even know what that means. I think we just need to continue to pray for that.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I came into the meeting tonight and thought of all the precious people that were here that we only get to see once a year, and how much we treasure the blessing we've had here at camp, just hearing them bring us into the presence of the Lord. And I said, oh my, there are so many dear people here that love God and share the Word of God with us. And then all of a sudden, the Lord came to me, and I saw him standing in front. I said, oh, there's somebody greater here. There's somebody more wonderful. There's somebody that doesn't matter who else I see in the midst or here in the midst. I beheld him standing in the midst. And I said, oh, Jesus, thrill my heart all over again. And I came expecting, yes, we wanted to greater working in the camp this year than ever before. And in our Chinese, you know, we have 140 Chinese that are coming on Thursdays, just the day after you go back home. And we want something greater, a greater manifestation. We've been praying. Sister Ming and I get on the phone and pray together, Lord, meet every one of them at the door. Mm-hmm. Welcome each one of them. Let them find you here. And that's been our faith. But as Brother Kenny told us, what are we expecting tonight? I remember on the 70th anniversary, there came a word from the Lord in the meeting that he was going to do a greater work than ever before. Now that was hard for me to believe because I was here 35 years ago when you couldn't move in the meeting. You were held. You couldn't move and you didn't care if you ever moved. God was so mightily in the place. And I thought, that's just, I don't know if I have the faith, but I need to have that doubt dynamited, like we heard tonight. Dynamited. If God said that in the 70th anniversary on that night, I remember, and some of you were here, you remember he said he wanted to do a greater work. The latter would be greater than the former. And I said, is it this year? Lord, is it this year? That's our expectation.
Jesus. Thank you.
I don't want to keep anyone from sharing. Anyone else? Something blesses you?
On the first page, it says, every time new truth has been brought forth, it has been because men have caught enough of the vision from God and have been sufficiently stirred that they held on to God in prevailing and persistent prayer. I've heard it said before that no one's going to get saved from a clever analogy, from any clever words that I have to say, from just talking about Jesus. They're going to see it because I see Jesus and I see who he is and his spirit is flowing through me. I've had a lot of people tell me that I have to go see the Grand Canyon. I've seen pictures of the Grand Canyon. It's fine. It's a big hole in the ground. That's all it is to me. But they say when you're there, you're looking out on it, you just can't believe what you're looking at. And I have to think that this is kind of the same thing that he's saying here. No matter what you say about Jesus, it's not going to be real to someone until they can see who he is. And in order for that to happen, I have to be empty and I have to be filled with who he is and I have to see who Jesus is and what he has for my life, and I have to be empty of that and be willing to be used by him. And so no one's going to see Jesus unless I could see him also.
That's true. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The song that we sang, Revive Us Again, throughout this whole night, it's a confirmation of what we just looked at. The last verse, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. And it's the fire of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to be what we should be as individuals, we should be as a church, what we should be as far as bringing the gospel to others. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that's what makes the difference. And that's what brings signs following the word that is preached with power and unction of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to flow through us and can do it to bring that to the hurting world. So Lord, let this place, this year, be a place where young people and adults will experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we want them to be saved first, of course, but there's more. Yeah. There's more. Yeah. And if we really are sold out to God, he will use us. Who else can he use but us? Lord, I need a new refilling, a new baptism, a new fire from above, that I might recognize when I walk with people, when I sit with people, that I might be the one he wants to use to bring them to himself. So Lord, let this place be a place where your spirit will be experienced, where people will be taken deeper. And because of it, the reverberant of what God is going to do is going to be so much greater.
Hallelujah. We've gone into the 11th inning. I've been prompted to say something about that third paragraph. We have the exalted privilege of living in a day when something that had been lost through the centuries has to be restored. That's us. Over the Pentecost, I was impressed with the warning in the book of Jude, which is a one-chapter book, as you Bible experts know, just before Revelation. To contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's kind of the idea that's brought out here. And one of the thoughts that have come to me as I was staring at that motto up there, called unto holiness. Paul, is that there for 70 years? Am I wrong with that?
not 70 years.
I've been here 70 years, and I know the Anthros were there 70 years ago. You got a couple of years on you, Mikey.
Yes, you do.
The call is still the same. Still called unto holiness. This little idol here has a ringer. Don't worry, I won't turn it on. That says, called unto holiness. That's what my ringer is. My dear daughter, otherwise known as his wife, put it in there for me. It's a good reminder, let me put it this way. It's a reminder for myself, first of all, that the call is still the same, as that motto is, and regardless of how many years, it's been there many years, but it's still God's call today. We heard about it in New York already, and that the promise was given that if this place would be kept holiness unto the Lord, that the Lord would bless his people as we come. And many have come through here over the years. Thousands of people have come and gone. People have come as children and their grandmas and grandpas by now and so on. And God is still here, and God has brought us to this point, as the paragraph says. There's a lot of food to chew on here. But anyway, we have the exalted privilege living in the day today with something that has been lost. You got that? Lost? Got to be recovered. It has to be restored. By the grace of God, you and I will do it.
Praise God. Help us, Lord. Help us, O God.
A fresh anointing.
A fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. For I need a new lift power in my life to be used more for thee.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we want to give some time tonight to wait upon God. But before we do, I just wanted to underscore just two thoughts that have already been mentioned. And the one is prayer. Throughout this article, there's this call to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. God wondered that there was no intercessor. Could that be said of us, that there's no one that's truly praying for camp? I've heard it said that the gardeners, prayer went up for this place throughout the year, the entire year. And there was a network of people that they could call to pray. And when needs arose and when situations came, they could call on those people to pray. And I wonder if we could enlist ourselves to be prayers for camp. Now, you might not be here throughout the season. You might come for 2 weeks. You might come for a week. But can we all commit ourselves that we will pray for Pilgrim Camp?
Yes.
We've been blessed in this place.
Yes.
And we have a responsibility before God to pray. God, give us prayer in the Holy Ghost. God, put your prayer in our hearts. Help us to pray as we ought to pray. It's a work of the Spirit. And God has to burden us. Now, I know we have different ministries. We all are involved in some ministry other than Pilgrim Camp. But God, help us to pray for Pilgrim Camp.
Hallelujah.
And the second thought maybe is about these dams. You like the illustration, right? Put the dynamite under the dam, and maybe you're thinking of the beaver dam. Back here in the little creek there. Well, I think when I think of the dam, I think of something a little bit different. Have anybody seen Hoover Dam? That massive dam that just holds back the waters. Made of concrete. Many, many feet thick. And I trust that's not the dams that we've constructed, but God knows. And so the word that came to my heart in relation to the dams is this word repent. Repent, repent. On the day of Pentecost, what was the message? They heard the message from Peter and they said, Peter, what should we do? And what did he say? Repent. Repent. And I thought, do we need to repent? I think every revival, it begins with repentance. There's not going to be a move of the Holy Spirit unless there's a repentance by the people of God.
Amen.
And it begins with us. No matter where we are in our walk with God, I think repentance is the attitude that we need to have toward God. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because repentance puts me in the right relationship with God. I turn away from myself. I turn to Him. I recognize that I need Him every day. And now what you repent of may be different than what I need to repent of. But I think if we're honest before God, God's going to lay His finger upon our hearts. We say that. Lay your finger upon my heart. Show me what grieves you that it may depart. I was reminded of this passage in Matthew 3. It says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. There's a preparation that God wants to do among his people so that the river could flow. And if we want God to work in Pilgrim Camp in 2018, well, maybe we need to begin with repentance. And I know I'm talking to all the ministers here. I'm sorry. But I'm speaking to myself. Lord, deliver me from any pride. Deliver me from any doubt. Deliver me from prayerlessness. Deliver me from just fill in the blank. Worldliness. Is it possible that there's worldliness among us? What were some of the other things? Professionalism. Substituting things for complete dependence upon the Spirit of God. We need to repent. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And now listen to this. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so tonight as we go to prayer, I would just ask, dear God, search my heart. God, I don't want to construct a dam to your working. I don't want there to be a hindrance in my life. I want my life to be a clean channel of your blessing. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power, but as thou givest graciously with each command. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, cleanse me. Lord, show me the things that hinder your working. Show me the things that maybe I'm not even conscious of, Lord. Lay your finger upon my heart. Oh God, Spirit of God, begin a work in each one of us to convict us of the things that we need to repent of. And then, beloved, I believe if we do that, and if we're honest before God, we're laying a foundation, as it were, for God to come and to work in us and through us. And then these rivers of living water will be able to flow unhindered among us. Just one other thought. You know, I wonder how well we do with this idea of love. Love. Do we truly love one another? Have we allowed the love of God so to fill us that people see Jesus in us? Is there anything in us that is not consistent with the love of God? I was reminded recently of Sister Robinson was challenged to pray, and I don't know how many months it was that she prayed over 1 Corinthians 13 until that came, that perfect love of God in her heart. Are we willing to pray like that? Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Oh, Lord, empty me of myself. Empty me of my own thoughts and my own opinions. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. There's a song in our white book, emptied of self and filled with thee, Spirit of God, abide with me. Help me to die to self and sin. Spirit divine, come in. Come in. Now again, it's the Holy Spirit that must speak to our hearts. But Lord, we want you to speak to us. And Lord, say what you need to say. And give us the humility to bow before you. And to be corrected. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. We thank you for your blood that was shed to cleanse. We thank you that we can walk in newness of life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, come. Come to us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. So let's sing that song together, and then we can spend some time in prayer. I just wanted to say this. This was not on the little white paper that you received, but and this is totally optional. Don't feel that you need to do this. I'm sure you have your morning routine. But if you'd like to meet for prayer in the morning before breakfast, we'll have the prayer room open. It's open all the time, but I'll try to be there at around 7:15 if anyone wants to join, just to wait upon God together. But again, that's totally up to you, totally optional. And breakfast is at 8:30, and then our morning time together as ministers is at, does it say 9:30 on there?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Any other announcements I should make, Brother Paul, Sister Letha? Anything else? No?
All the staff eats at 8:30 also.
Okay, staff will eat at 8:30. This is an easy schedule these days, you know. It's great to be on staff. Now I'm looking for 74? Let's stand as we sing, and then we'll spend some time just in prayer, waiting upon God, see what he'll do yet.
Lord, I am waiting at thy feet.
Tom Kynith, would you pray with us, please?
Jesus. Father, this is the cry of our heart. Lord Jesus. This outer man would be broken, Lord God. It would be a release, Lord Jesus. Release of your spirit working within our heart, the depths of our heart, Lord God. Rivers would flow. Father, that is our heart cry. Father, imbue us these days, Lord God, with that Holy Spirit power. Imbue us, Father, with a deeper hunger. Father, speak to our heart as only you can. Strip away those things, Lord God, that would hinder. Blast them away, Lord God. Have
yes,
your
Lord.
Way,
yes,
Lord,
Lord
Jesus.
Yes.
Take full control, Lord Jesus. We commit to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've spoken to our heart. Bring these truths back to us again and again. Even, Lord God, this night hour, Lord Jesus. Even as David prayed, Lord, you know me in my active moments and my passive moments. Lord, even, Lord Jesus, watch over us through the night, Lord God, Father. And awaken us, Lord Jesus, with that hunger, that desire for more of you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to prayer. God bless you.